today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and can you believe tomorrow is December the 1st already? My goodness, what's happened to this year? As you may know, some of you who listen to this program regularly, this is the month when we begin airing the best broadcast from the previous year based on listener response. And this year, we're going to start one day early because today we're going to feature a recent broadcast. In fact, this interview occurred 2 months ago, and it is the top interview for 2016. And it featured vice presidential candidate Mike Pence and his wife Karen. They came to Family Talk Studios to talk about faith and family and the country. What an interesting day that was, because Vice President-elect Mike Pence and his wife Karen came to Family Talk with an entourage of 20 uniformed police officers on motorcycles. And, I mean, they were really impressive to see. And a big team of Secret Service people, men and women, and they came in 9 black SUVs as shiny as a new penny with state-of-the-art rifles and much more. It was a very exciting morning, to be sure. I first met Mike Pence 25 years ago when he was a member of the House of Representatives in Indiana, and I was there promoting the things that I believe about the institution of the family and the policies that relate to it. He left Congress in 2013, and he's served as the governor of Indiana since that time. 3 weeks ago, he was elected to be our next vice president, as I hope you know, and I wanted to re-air our conversation so that you can learn a little bit more about the man who will help to shape our country over the next few years. So here now is my conversation with Vice President-elect Mike Pence and his wife Karen, recorded before they and Donald Trump actually won the election. These are very special, godly people. I love them like a brother and sister, and Shirley does too. And I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. Thank you all for being with us today. I can imagine just how fast you are running. I kind of keep up with you through cable television and other ways. But you guys are going 100 miles an hour. Sometimes, what, 6 or 7 or 8 interviews a day? Am I right about that?
We're busy on the campaign trail, but this is the greatest honor of my life. It's wonderful to see you, Dr. Dobson. You know how much Karen and I admire you and Shirley and all you've meant to people of faith across this nation. So thanks for having us.
Well, it's mutual. And Karen, it's a pleasure to have you here. You're holding up well, too. You both look great.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. I've got to tell you, when Mike was in Congress, we would take those long drives home to Indiana and back to Washington. And I've got to tell you, our kids were raised on adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, really? Well, are you handling it physically? Are you okay? I mean,
it has been a sprint since we got the call, which came at 11 o'clock at night at the governor's residence. I heard that familiar voice over the phone. We've been told that the call might come, but we'd prayed through it as a family. We talked to our children. I said yes in a heartbeat. Yeah. I truly do believe that this man has given voice to the frustrations and aspirations of the American people like no one since Ronald Reagan. And I'm honored to be with him. But what really keeps us going is the people that we meet every single day all across this country.
What have you learned about the American people from this process?
Number one, people are unfailingly gracious. You know, when we're stopping and shaking hands at a local diner, we were outside Williamsburg, Virginia the other day and stopped in to get some good pulled pork at Pierce's, and it was just wonderful. And frankly, met an awful lot of supporters there. But even when you meet people that aren't supporting your team or your ticket, you know, the American people are very gracious and very kind, and I just will tell you, we just continue to be inspired every day by the optimism and determination that I see on the faces of thousands of Americans who are coming out to these rallies, who know we can be better, who know we can be stronger, who know that our best days are ahead. And it's just very humbling for us to be some small part of that.
And you gave an illustration of something that happened the other day, and I ask you to repeat it here.
Well, one of the things Donald Trump says more often than anything else is this isn't about him. This isn't about our team or our party. This is a movement. It's a movement of people across this country who know we can make America great again. And that really came in high relief in the last few days. Karen and I pulled up to Colonial Williamsburg. It's a great historic site. We had an outdoor rally scheduled just a few nights ago. And after Karen squeezed my hand and said, give him the whole story, it started to rain like I hadn't seen it rain in a while. I mean, the heavens just opened up. There were 650 people out there under this torrential downpour. My staff said to me, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going. So I went up on the stage and I thought I'd go ahead and give the speech
to
whoever.
They thought you would bail.
Yeah, I went up there. I thought, well, the few hundred people that stick around in the rain, I'm going to give them the whole story and tell them about this good man and this great cause. But the remarkable thing to me was that while the rain continued to pour, nobody left. 650 people stood in the rain for—
All drenched.
The better part of— Well, we all were. The rain kept coming down. I even joked. I said, back in Indiana, rain is a good thing.
The Secret Service will not allow you to have umbrellas. Is that right?
That's right? Nobody out in the crowd had an umbrella. I mean, people did their level best with hats and maybe holding a sign over their head. But it really showed the determination that I see each and every day at rallies and on campaign stops. There are literally millions and millions of people across this country who know we can make America great again. As I said, it was just an incredibly inspiring sight.
And, I mean, really, instead of, drenching our spirits, it really invigorated us to see all of these people who were so excited and they were getting drenched. And really, it was just a lot of fun. And it inspired us more, I think, than discouraged us to be out in the rain.
Karen, talk about your three kids. They're all grown. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing?
Yes, our kids are all grown. Our son Michael's getting married in December. And he is a pilot for the Marine Corps. And our daughter Charlotte is a writer. She'll be working for a production company. And our daughter Audrey is still in college and heading to law school in a year. So, but I've got to tell you, Dr. Dobson, when they were very little, I ordered online one of your, it was like family night workbook kind of thing. And we raised our kids on family nights. And
we did.
We'd take a page. And Mike would make it a fun evening. He'd make an activity. And that was probably one of the best things we did when our kids were growing up. It was really wonderful. They couldn't wait for family night. About once a week we would do those. And so thank you.
You know, those principles did not originate with me. That is found in Scripture and in the godly advice that you get from other people. And so I stole a lot of it. I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. I steal his ideas and I get the credit. So,
I'm running for Vice President of the United States. I'm governor of the state that I love, but the highest office I'll ever hold— highest position I'll ever have is DAD.
You mean that, don't you?
I do. And whatever I've been able to accomplish in our family is mostly due to this woman. She has been the architect of family life for our kids, that even though we served on Capitol Hill, we served under two different administrations, that Karen has always created that zone for our family of real normalcy. You know, we actually moved our kids to Washington, D.C. when we were elected to Congress, just to keep our kids and our family close. And I always told people you could have some pretty heady days in Washington, D.C., but it was always such a blessing to maybe a meeting at the White House, maybe a hearing on Capitol Hill, maybe a national television interview. But then I could walk into that little house that we had just outside Washington, D.C., and I knew that there were four people who were absolutely unimpressed with me. But Karen always saw to that, and even in our years as governor, the kids, the night we were elected to the position as governor, each of the kids gave their mother a framed quotation of hers that had meant the most to them. She's cherished that over these years, but it really encapsulates. See,
I can understand that because I have said many times I would not have done what I tried to do without Shirley, and I mean that. If my life would have been totally, totally different professionally if it had not been for her. And she continues to encourage me today. And we just celebrated our 56th anniversary.
Wow.
And that's isn't that neat?
That's really neat. We're only 25 behind you. So, congratulations.
Governor, you often open your speeches with a trilogy of principles or a characterization of what you are, who you are.
Right.
Tell us what it is.
You know, I worked in radio back in the 1990s. I had a syndicated radio show that was just heard in Indiana on a lot of little mom-and-pop radio stations, some of which carried James Dobson. I told people I was kind of Rush Limbaugh on decaf. But there was one day that a caller called in and said, I've been listening to you for a while, and I've been trying to figure out where you're coming from. He says, are you a classical conservative? Are you a libertarian? Are you a neoconservative? And I thought about it for just a second. And I said, I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order.
And again, you mean that.
It stuck. I've preferred that introduction ever since because it really, for me, sums up my core convictions and the priorities that I have in my life.
I have three substantive items that I want to ask you about that actually both my board and my attorney who serves with the board asked me to ask you. And he wrote them down. And as lawyers hand you things, you usually stay pretty close to the script. So I'm going to read it. And these are substantive policy issues that mean a lot to us. And I think will be to you, too. The first says, Governor, the Obama administration has issued a series of regulations under Obamacare that require ministries like Little Sisters of the Poor and Family Talk, and also Christian-owned businesses to provide contraceptives and abortion-inducing drugs in their employee health plans, even when they are, as a matter of faith, conscientiously opposed. These regulations can be reversed by new regulations. Will the Trump-Pence administration issue a regulation that either eliminates this mandate or, at the least, provides a religious exemption for all ministries and all closely held businesses with religious objections? Now, the reason that we ask this is we are in this lawsuit, as in it has gone on for well over a year. If Hillary Clinton is elected, and I'm not making any political statement here, but if she is and changes the court, then we are going to be stuck with this, and I won't do it. And the fine for not complying to this mandate is hundreds of thousands of dollars. We'll close our door. I mean, we're out of business, and we will be if that occurs. So the question really has meaning for us. Take a run at it.
What I can tell you is that a Trump-Pence administration will be dedicated to preserving the liberties of our people, including the freedom of religion that's enshrined in our Bill of Rights.
That shouldn't even be an issue, should it?
Well,
it's constitutional.
We have a long tradition in this country of accommodating religious belief and respecting religious belief. But under this administration, you've seen the heavy hand of government, whether it be in the Hobby Lobby case or whether it be in the Little Sisters of the Poor, where there is an unwillingness by the administration to accommodate the religious sensibilities and convictions of ministries or private organizations. And the question in nonprofits that you raise in this case is equally relevant. But our administration is going to err on the side of freedom. We're going to err on the side of protecting the liberties of our people. But it does underscore how important this election is with regard to the Supreme Court of the United States. And with the passing of the late and great Justice Antonin Scalia, literally the balance of the court on many of these very closely decided questions is on the ballot this year. And what I can tell you is that Donald Trump is absolutely committed to appointing justices to the Supreme Court and all of our courts in the tradition of the late and great Justice Antonin Scalia, people that will strictly construe the Constitution of the United States. I couldn't be more proud to stand with him in that.
Okay, we're running out of time. The next one, the governor. The Obama administration has been reinterpreting our civil rights laws that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex as also prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity. As a part of this effort, it has issued a Dear Colleague letter to every school and college that receives government funds that requires them to permit transgendered persons to go to the bathroom of their choice, to be on the sports team of their choice, to stay in motel rooms of their choice when traveling for school events, and to be called by the pronoun of their choice. As part of this effort, the administration has issued a regulation that requires many employers to include so-called gender transition service in their employee health plans. These services include things such as breast removal, penis construction, vaginoplasty, and potentially even facial reconstruction. Question: will the Trump Pence administration withdraw the Dear Colleague letter and issue a regulation that either eliminates the gender transition services mandate or, at the very least, provide a religious exemption for all ministries and all closely held businesses with religious objections?
You know, this is such an example of an administration that seems to have there's no area of our lives too small for them to want to regulate, no aspect of our Constitution too large for them to be willing to ignore. These questions that come up, you know, Donald Trump and I both believe not only can be resolved with common sense at the local level, but they are every single day. I mean, working with parents and administrators and teachers, these issues, I can tell you, are resolved in the state of Indiana whenever they come up. And they should be resolved with the safety and well-being of our children first and foremost, their privacy, interest, and rights, and with common sense. Donald Trump and I simply believe that all of these issues are best resolved at the state level. By the people of communities, by the standards that they want to set.
How dare the president tell parents everywhere that their children have to conform to his idea of how you go to the bathroom and with whom? I mean, that takes my breath away.
Yeah, Washington has no business intruding on the operation of our local schools. I can tell you, it's just one more example of the heavy hand and liberal agenda of this administration working its way into the purview of the states and the people. And Donald Trump and I will stand by that common sense principle that government that governs least governs best. And when it comes to our kids and the operation of our schools, that those decisions should be made and can be made at the local level. And find ways to accommodate all of our kids. Free public education, universal public education is a principle actually enshrined in the Indiana Constitution, and it's a principle that we cherish all across this country. We'll educate all of our kids. We'll figure our way through these issues, but Washington, D.C. has no business imposing its will or its values on communities around the nation.
Number three is an item that is outrageous from my point of view. On September 9, 2016, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights issued a report calling for restrictions to be placed on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The USCCR chairman, Martin Castro, issued a statement as part of this report that said religious liberty, these words are in quotations, religious liberty and religious freedom are code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, and Christian supremacy. And here's the question. Do you believe that religious liberty is code for racism, sexism, and homophobia, and so on. Do you believe there's a relationship between religious leaders exercising their religious freedom to help enact civil rights laws? I see that the official Trump-Pence website says nothing about religious freedom. Is religious freedom going to be a priority for the Trump-Pence administration?
Well, I can assure you that a Trump-Pence administration is going to uphold the Constitution of the United States. The First Amendment of the Constitution is very clear. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Isn't it amazing the far-reaching direction that this Martin Castro wrote in that statement, which becomes sort of a law in itself?
We live in a diverse country with people with different viewpoints and different lifestyles. And I don't believe in discrimination or mistreatment of anyone. I believe we should love our neighbor as ourselves. But neither do I think that anyone should ever fear persecution because of their deeply held religious beliefs. Now, when those two things come into conflict, that's what we have the courts for. The courts sort out those issues and have done so throughout the history of this nation. And Donald Trump and I truly believe that ensuring that we have people appointed to the court who will respect our Constitution and respect the God-given liberties that are enshrined there is very much on the ballot.
What that means is that it's not just the United States Supreme Court that has us concerned. It's also the entire judiciary, the district courts and the appellate courts and the influence that they wield. Our guest has been Governor Mike Pence, who's running for Vice President of the United States with Donald Trump, and his wife Karen has been with us today. I know that, Karen, you and your husband are doing a lot of interviews like this together, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, and we're kind of running as a team. We've always done that. We've always run as a family, and so it's a lot of fun to be on the campaign trail with Mike.
Well, our prayer for you both is that the Lord will keep you safe and give you physical health and strength for the task at hand. We know that the outcome of this election is in His hands, and I know you feel the same way. I love you, Mike. I have for a long time. I've appreciated the work you've done. You're a good, godly man. And Karen, I've heard great things about you, and we're going to get better acquainted in the days ahead. Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. It's wonderful to be with you. And just thanks for all you've meant to people of faith all across this country. I can tell you, you've been an inspiration to our little family, and you and Shirley continue to be just cherished friends. And we wish you much continued success, whatever the future has for our family.
God bless you both. Well, once again, I'm James Dobson, and you've just heard a conversation recorded about 2 months ago with Vice President-elect Mike Pence. At the time that he came here with his wife, Karen, he was still a candidate, and now, of course, he is the Vice President-elect. They stopped by Family Talk, as I said, a couple of months ago, and they were still on the campaign trail when I invited them to be here to talk about the things that are closest to their hearts and to ours, faith, family, and this great country known as America. It was wonderful to spend time with them both. I've known them, as I said at the top of the program, for 25 years, and it was fun to hear them speak on those values that are at the center of the Family Talk mission. In closing, I said before the election, and I'll continue to say it, America won't be saved by legislation or a political party or even a particular president. Only God can save America. Many people were praying about this election, and we must continue to pray just as fervently that this nation will turn back to God and ask Him to heal our land. As you know, here at Family Talk, we're committed to promoting a culture that strengthens and upholds the family, and we would love to have you join us.
Your financial support here at the end of the year allows us to stand strong for truth. And now through the end of the year, every dollar you donate will be doubled thanks to a generous matching grant. And that makes this a great time of the year to give. You can reach us at drjamesdobson.org or write us at 540 Elkton Drive, E-L-K-T-O-N Drive, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907. And thank you for support and for spending time with us today. We'll see you again next time right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors. Family Talk is a listener-supported program. I encourage you to give if you can. You can find us at drjamesdobson.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you to be a part of our family.